Well, it's a joy to be here today to share over the next 3 hours. You're going to tell you all that God has been doing and how God's been working in over 196 countries around the world.
When we were called into missions, we were in a pastoral ministry, and the mission board that we were asked to serve with did not do deputation work, if you know what that is. They did not allow you to let your needs be made known. You just stepped out on faith and trusted the Lord to provide. So when we went with Gospel Recordings, now known as Global Recordings Network, we had 5 children and no house because we were living in a parsonage, no money. And we struggled with that decision, I have to say. We struggled with that. Not because we didn't believe God could provide. We just needed to know that this is what God was directing us to do. And we came to the very clear conclusion that if God was calling us to do this, He was going to provide. So we needed a house.
But when we were with Gospel Recordings, we had a unique way of telling people about Jesus. We used to use a piece of cardboard with a 78 RPM record. We used to do this.
But I guess the rich people just laughed and said,
That's how they used to tell people with a piece of cardboard like this. And then when they got sophisticated while we were there, we began to make up a little tool like this. It had no batteries, electricity, so we used to do a little players made these up like this. But we weren't satisfied, were we, Flo? We wanted to see more effective ways of telling people about Jesus. And you know, when I was with Gospel Recordings, I had to step out, and they said you have to raise your own support, trust God to provide it. Not to, and I said, well, we're living in a church parsonage. We've got to move at the end of August. I need to find a house. And I looked around, and I said, oh, I know where there's a house, up on Stone Church Road. The house isn't much, but it has got a beautiful. I said, honey, I found a house on Stone Church Road. It's not much. It needs a little bit of repair work, has no electricity, no plumbing, has running water from the roof to the basement. But I believe we can fix that up to move in that. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you happy? What a beautiful view you get for this house.
Well, if you want to read a little bit about that story, it's in the book Waves of Hope. I presume this is on, is it?
Is that on?
Good,
sound.
Okay. There's a book at the back there called Waves of Hope, and there's just a short little bit about the house in there. I've been told to write a whole book on that story because God just did one miracle after another, after another, after another, and within a few short months.
And it says $10, but you can have it because we love you and you love us, and we praise God for the rest. Anyways, in 4 months, God provided plumbers, provided cement workers, carpenters, a church came up from St. Catherine, did the roof and put stuff on that. A church, Hamilton, did all the insulation in about a day and the whole. It was amazing. 4 months. That was the same house. Isn't God good the way He changes things, eh? And that's the house we're still living in. Woo!
And then when Alan was with Gospel Recordings, he was in Kenya and in Nairobi.
I was up in Nairobi, and I was going up to among the northern part of Kenya, among the Luai tribe. I went up there, and I'm walking around the villages, and I knew FABC was broadcast, Far East Broadcast was there, and Trans World Radio. And I looked around, and I had these players that said, Lord, there's got to be a better way. And God said, Alan, go home and build a solar radio. Build a fixed-tune radio. And I got one here. I happen to have one in my pocket here. And this is the radio. It's a basic design that God showed me how to put this together, put a solar panel in it, hook up this, connect it up. And that's the vision God gave to me way back in 1989. And I said, so I went to Gospel Recording and said, hey, isn't this a great tool? Wouldn't it be great? Canadian board said, fine. In 3 months, there was a meeting internationally with all the GR bases around the world. So I head out to Australia to their meeting. We go through the agenda, what we're doing in Africa. And any new items of business? I said, yeah, let's make little radios. And they said, not our ministry. What do you do? He said, we want you to even sign a form that you'll not even touch that. What do you do? When God calls you to do something, and maybe God's going to call someone here today to go forth and serve Jesus, because it's a commitment. Following Jesus is 100% being sold out to Him. And that's why we were wanting to make little radios. And if I came home, I phoned Flo, and he said, I can't sign that form. Remember, Flo? He said, no. We came home and said, Lord, we're going to have to trust you to guide and step out on faith and see what we'd had $50 a month coming in on support. Isn't that a great to see how God watches over us?
At the same time that God laid on Alan's heart to make a solar-powered fixed-tuned radio, there was another man and his wife, Ken and Margie Crowell, working in Tiberias, Israel. They had set up a electronics factory there. They were employing Jews and Christians and Arabs, something that was kind of unheard of back then in the late 70s. And sometime after he had established this factory, the Lord laid on his heart the idea of making a fixed-tuned radio. And he thought, Lord, I don't know anything about fixed-tuned radios. But when that idea persisted, he had a couple of his engineers design a fixed-tuned radio. They handed him the folder. He placed it on his table, on his desk, opened it up, looked over the design, closed up the folder, and put it in this bottom drawer of his filing cabinet because he had no idea what to do with it. A few months later, he flew over to Tampa, Florida. He was at a tent makers conference, and he ended up sitting across the table at supper time from a man named Harold Kent. Harold and Joanne were business people involved with Kent Feed Mills, if you know any of that, from the States. And Harold said to Kent, I understand that you're an engineer and that you have a factory in Tiberias, Israel. He said, what do you know about fixed-tuned radios? And Ken said, why do you ask? And he said, well, the Lord has told me to place fixed-tuned radios all over the world, but I don't know anything about radios. I'm a businessman. I have some money. And Ken said, you'll never believe this. The Lord told me to design a fixed-tuned radio, and I haven't known what to do with that design. Well, Harold said, I'll provide the money. Can you get some space in your factory there, and you start producing these fixed-tuned radios? And then Ken said, but then what do we do with them? I can make the radios if you want to provide the money, but where do we go from there? And then Ken said, you know what? On the flight over from Tel Aviv to Tampa, in the seat pocket in front of me was a pamphlet from a place called Gospel Recordings. And it talked about some man up in Canada who's made a solar-powered fixed-tuned radio.
Woo-hoo!
We need to get in touch with him. So God brought together three couples from three different countries to form Galcom International. Gal comes from the word Galilee, which means to roll or commit. Com is communication, so it's a commitment to communications worldwide.
And internationals worldwide.
And our key verse is from Psalm 37:5, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And you can see the two different generations of players there.
I just happen to have a radio in my pocket. I knew you wanted to see some radios there. And you know, we've been putting over 2 million radios and audio Bibles around the world in 151 countries. Who did that? Oh, here's radios. Here, well, there's my business card. And this has gone to, we just had a trip to Peru and took 750 radios to Peru. And this is another little radio here that we sent out. Whoop, we got stuck here. There we go. And this is into Poland. I went up there, put a station. We found there was a bomb in the bottom of the tower. We had to take that out before we worked on the station. Here's another one here. This one in Quebec. We're hoping to go into Quebec to put radio into there. Here's another one here in Romania. We had been working in Romania and done work there. Here's another in Micronesia, Far East. Took us 32 hours to fly out there. Here's another one here, Greenland. Woo! We put 7 stations in and now 15. And here's another in Colombia. 100,000 radios went to Colombia, folks. Amen? Woo! Then we have another radio here. And this here, oh, this has gone to Guinea-Bissau. We just put the new station in Guinea-Bissau the 1st of November where you're setting that up. And I think I got out of, one more here. An audio Bible to South Sudan. 120,000 radios and audio Bibles have gone into Southern, and God's transforming that country. We'll tell you more about that in about 20 minutes from now. I mean to say that, sorry. Okay, and then we began to make radios, and Ken made the radios in Tiberias, Israel. He was making antennas to reach the Russian Jews' employment. but he used part of the factory to make little radios, and that's where he started. And then he came to get busier and busier. We needed more radios. He had more antennas to build, and it's becoming a real difficult. What do I do? How do I need to move, make a change.
And the first 40,000 radios went into Lebanon and into the Middle East. You know, the Israeli government didn't mind us making these solar-powered fixed-tuned radios to convert people outside of Israel.
Right.
They needed something, but they didn't think they needed it. You weren't really allowed to distribute them within the country itself. So the first 40,000 went into Lebanon. Of course, some came back into Israel. But the Galtronics factory there became so busy that they were having a hard time keeping up with the radio production that we needed. At the same time, we started in our home with all of the administration. Then we moved to Mountain Bible Church, now called Connect Community Church in Hamilton. And we were able to get a small gym that they had there. And we got that for nothing by providing them with some secretarial services.
Pretty good
business,
eh?
So that worked out really well. But we were growing that space, and it was with great trepidation in 1994 in November that we signed a lease for $500 a month for 4,000 square feet of space. We didn't quite need 4,000, but we needed more than the 1,000 that we had, or the 1,500. And so we started that process. We didn't know when we signed the lease in November that by December the decision would be made to move production to Canada. So production came to Canada in 1995. We moved in December. We got everything set up during January. We were producing radios by February of that year. And then we outgrew that rented space and then bought...
had a bigger challenge because more and more requests are coming all over the world. Please send radios to Europe. Please send to South America. Please send radios down to India and different places. And so we came across a building. I said to my buddy, listen, we get this building for $400,000. It's got 16,000 square feet. That'll do us for the next 20 years. And they said, wow, that's a lot of money. But they said, well, we'll see what we can do. And we took a mortgage out on it. And in 5 years, that building was completely paid for. See, when you do things God's way, God provides. And that's our beautiful facility. That's where you can come down and build radios, too. Wouldn't that be great? Woo! See what you can do? And that's the building we're using today, and it's been such a blessing to Galcom.
And we have enough space in there that we rent out a good portion of it, not quite half, and that pays a lot of the overhead, so that God has just provided in amazing ways for the ministry. And then there are three or four countries that we've sent a lot of radios into. One of them is Colombia. And Russell Stendahl, standing in the middle there, is a second-generation missionary. He was just a boy in Michigan when he prayed to God that God would call his parents into missionary service because he wanted to be a missionary now. He didn't want to wait until he was grown up. And God did that. And he's been in Colombia ever since. And they had some radio stations there in La Melinda, and... about 50 years ago, most of the missionaries had to leave Colombia because of the terrible conflict. There's been civil war in Colombia for over 50 years, and thousands of people dying. And Russell said to us, you know, there are over a million people involved in that conflict any given day, between the Colombian military, paramilitary groups, the guerrillas, local forces. And he said, you know, one side does something, the other side retaliates, then the other side retaliates. There's no ending to this. But we have the answer. God is the only one who can bring peace through his son, Jesus
Amen.
Christ. We have a number of radio stations functioning. Shortwave especially reaches most of the country. We also have FM and AM. He said, we have a proposition for you. If you can provide us with 100,000 solar-powered fixed-tuned radios, that would mean about one for every ten people involved in this conflict. And if we could do that, I believe God will change this country.
That's $2 million worth of radios. How do you like that?
So we took on that challenge. We believed that was God's leading, and started producing radios, and Russell was getting them into the military itself. Alan helped to distribute them to the military and to the guerrillas, and many were dropped in by parachute.
Woo! We'd fly over the villagers. Hey, there's a family. Bing! One over here. Bing! We're in the big business. We'd bing over here, and we're able to drop. Over 40,000 of these were dropped in. Some of you people helped make parachutes. And it was great. And another mission provided the money for the gas for the planes. And I'm sure you, we're going to meet many people in heaven. We never met with a person. Oh, you're the guy that dropped the parachute. I came to know Jesus. Wouldn't that be great to meet them? Maybe you guys will be able to shake hands with them too, okay? Praise
so
God. What
over 112,000 radios have gone there. Over 60,000 have gone up and among the Quechua people in Bolivia. And they have also translated the Bible into Quechua and made the digital recording. So we now have not only the radio, but the audio Bible is in the radio as well, so they can have the Bible in Quechua, in Spanish, plus the radio. Many, many of the Quechua people are coming to faith in Christ.
And you know, it was interesting as we... South Sudan, yes. My eyesight's got to keep improving sometimes. But we went down in Juba, Sudan. We saw the need of going into that area. There's fighting from the north to the south. And the missions down in the southern Sudan, Alan, would you please come? We've got to reach these people, providers of radios. We have said it's transforming the people's lives. Instead of fighting in warfare, they're coming to know Jesus. Do you know how many radios we've sent into South Sudan? 120,000 radios have been sponsored at $20 a piece. And God is transforming South Sudan, amen? Woo! They're coming to know Jesus. And they're having an effect upon the northern part. And that's the little word, you know, what God says, the word will go forth, it will bear much fruit. Do you believe it? And that's what God is doing, because you guys stand behind to support the ministry here and getting these little poor missionaries. They speak the language, they work 24 hours a day, run on solar, and they've had a tremendous impact. We give God the glory, amen?
In Romans 10, we read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's because they are able to hear the word of God in these refugee camps in Sudan, in the guerrilla country of Colombia, and up in the mountains among the Quechua Indians, and all over the world, because they are able to hear, many thousands, hundreds of thousands actually, have come to faith in Christ. We've also been doing some work in Albania. Albania is just a little country there across from the heel of the boot of Italy. And we put the first Christian radio station into Tirana once the communism fell. And then we've put another one into Corsa on the eastern part of the country. And they needed a building there. But Alan was able to go into the country.
But we also, before, we heard about the building, we were talking about that. They had an apartment up on the second, sixth floor of a building, and we had already been distributing radios and going out to the 3,800 radios, because a lot of them don't have the education, the training. It's a very poor country. And they listened in their language, they pick up the radio and they listen to it, and their hearts began to melt, and the church has been growing, and God's been touching people in Albania. But we knew that as that worked, they couldn't operate out of an apartment building. So what do we do, Flo, after that?
They needed a building.
Yep.
And so we started looking around. The two of us were over there talking with Tawny and his wife, Efty, and the crew there running the radio station. And we looked at some buildings. The best one we could find was this one.
Isn't that good? That's another. We do a lot of stuff with old buildings. That's our trademark.
Now, woo! Doesn't look like much. It's kind of like the one we bought, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, but it was a good price. Woo!
And this actually was a building that had once belonged to a very wealthy family in Albania. When communists took over, they kicked the owners out and took over the building because it was one of the best ones in the area, in the downtown area of Albania. And when we went looking through there, there were cupboards full, stacks of political literature on communism. But today the building looks like this.
Isn't God good? And that building was completely paid for within 2 years, and it's had a fantastic impact. It put up 2 years ago, and it's just been a tremendous blessing.
They now have room for their studios. They have room that they can actually have people come in and visit with them. They can talk to people and share the gospel one-on-one as people come to visit, and they're able to operate in a much more efficient way. I loved listening to Olive when she was talking about the school ministry in Chito. As a former school teacher, I looked at all of those children being educated, and it just warmed my heart. And we plan this coming summer to go to Albania. We're going to be doing a DVBS there, as well as distributing radios, something that we've done in Peru that we're going to talk to you about in a moment.
In 40 minutes from now. I mean, sorry. Anyways, we got to keep moving. Then also there was a real need, a real concern to go into Greenland. I met a missionary out in Vancouver in 1999. He says, please come to Greenland. There's only one pastor, a few lay pastors, and there's maybe a handful of believers. And so we approached the Pastor John Nielsen, who was in the city of Nuuk. That's the capital of Greenland. I guess you knew that. And he went to the communication department and said, can I have a license? And they said, no, not now, wait. He went for 7 years. Have you ever prayed for something for 7 years? Put your hand up. We had, woo! We prayed for 7 years to get that license. What happened was, there was two men in the license department, and they didn't like anything to do with evangelicals. No, no, no. But in the seventh year, God had an amazing way. In Denmark, they made some political changes, and these men were moved out because they governed the power of Greenland. And they put two lovely, where's two ladies here? Put two ladies in. Did he go over the community? Yes, you can have a license. We were able to get a license for the city of Nuuk, which is the capital. And we put in 15 other stations throughout the whole province, country of Greenland. It's 2,000 miles long. Here's where we are working on putting up the tower, putting the antenna up, and send that up. And it's just been a real blessing to see what God is doing in Greenland. God is on the move in Greenland, amen? How many want to pray for Greenland? Well, just a few, yeah. Keep praying. God's working.
The first station went into the capital of Nuuk. Alan took a few men over, and three more stations were set up. And then we started training some father and son teams, and that's a father and daughter team there. That's our daughter, Sherry Lou. She went for 1 week, and then our son, Alan Jr., went for the second week. As these teams went over, they put in 9 more radio stations. Then several more have gone in since then, so that nearly the entire country of Greenland is covered with the gospel. And you can see some of the shots there from the different places in Greenland. The one on the bottom right is the most northerly church in the world, to our knowledge, and they now have a radio station there.
It's and 2 hours from the North Pole. That's how close it is.
So they are now broadcasting the gospel there in Greenland.
And you know, we had also a burden. We heard about Guatemala. The war had been going on for many years. There is peace in the land of Greenland. Guatemala said, would you please come to Guatemala? It's kind of dangerous. No, no, the fighting's over. We have open doors now to go into the villages. Would you please come and bring in radio outreach to see what we can do? So we began to go. We went down. Look at the roads were kind of rough those days. We're heading over and reach a village. We got stuck. And then we had a couple who were working with, and Flo will tell you who we were working with there.
We were working with Fausto and Miriam Sabiera there. I believe Fausto's in his 80s now, Miriam's in her 70s. And they have put in 5 radio stations and planted over 120 churches now in Guatemala. They've done this basically on a ministry that they started on their own, and we have partnered with them to help provide solar-powered fixed-tuned radios.
But you know, pastors had to be trained, right? They had 120 churches, they had other missions. So they opened up an institute, a Bible, right in Guatemala, and they began to train the pastors to teach the Word of God. The Word of God goes forth, has to be solid, biblical truth, and must touch hearts. And they have an institute being blessed and touching people. Good, solid. You go to Guatemala, you hear good preaching, okay? So when you go down there, distribute radios, let me know. We'll send it down.
When we visited one of the radio stations that ministers among the Ashimshe people, this lady saw us with the solar-powered fixed-tuned radio and the audio Bible, And her eyes just lit up, and she listened to it, and she was watching us. We let her hold it. She didn't want to let go of it. We did eventually give her one. But just gives you an idea of how hungry they are for the Word, how excited they are when they get a solar-powered fixed-tuned radio with the audio Bible in it. They're able to hear God's Word 24/7, and God is doing amazing things.
Then the opportunity of going into Tanzania to reach in there with Dave Casement. He has done a tremendous job working with putting in radio stations. And Tanzania, we put a radio station up in the northeast part of Tanzania, and they put it in January, and by the time April come or Easter, they had to have a celebration. They said, anybody coming down wants to be baptized. And I think it was something like 81 people were baptized at that April service because of the power of the Word of God going out over radio. Let's have an amen. Amen. Amen? Okay, that's good. That's not bad. We'll have to work on that.
And here's Dave installing one of the 70-foot antennas. And Ian Somerville is giving him some assistance there with the guy wires.
Ian Somerville is a retired man, and he is a doctor of theology, a doctor at the University of, science and stuff?
In science.
Yeah. Anyways, there's opportunity for men who are retired to go out and help work, distribute radios, and help work on radio projects. He just went out to Peru distributing radios, and he is something like 82 years old. Just a young man, not all.
We've also sent a lot of radios into Haiti, and Alistair and Shelley Wyatt have led a lot of teams from Galcom, and here is Alistair showing how the player operates.
And then we work with Shelley Wyatt. She has great teaching materials, and she taught the women and men how to use the radios, make sure they know how to look after, keep it charged, tell them what to do, and follow up with the teaching materials and stuff. And they have been a great blessing to the ministry. They've been here before, and I think you know who they are. So they say hello to you, okay? Hello, Alistair. Hello. Oh, they're off at another church today. Okay.
Just this summer, we went to Pachacamac, Peru, and we did a new venture for us, which was Vacation Bible School, along with distributing 750 radios and audio Bibles among these people. This is the same venture that we're going to plan to do in July of next year in Albania. So we went into Pachacamac. It's a very poor area just south of Lima, Peru, and we were able to take, if you look at the lady in that top right-hand corner with the scarf, the plaid scarf, that's Ethel Wright from People's Church, and she is 92 years old. She is the one that did a lot of the organization for this trip for the VBC program and pulled the team together, and here we are delivering some radios to the radio station and praying over them, committing them to the Lord.
But you know, when you go to some of these countries, you see some very poor, desolate situations. And while we're there, we also met some of the pastors up in Lima, Peru, who were involved in helping to distribute radios. We gave out to a lot of different churches radios as well, so they were being aware of what they do, find out the needs for more radios, send some more of these little missionaries down there when they get in touch and say, please send us more here, here, and here. So that's what we're doing, reaching souls, getting the gospel out.
Ethel and her team did some fundraising for radios, and they raised enough money to buy 750 radios. But Pastor Javier, who is on the far right of the screen, he had just started this small church in Pachacamac, and he said, well, we might be able to use 50 radios if we gave one to every man, woman, and child in our church that's kind of connected with us, but we could never use 750 radios. And when the team heard that, they were kind of discouraged. And I finally said to them, you know what? If the Lord has provided this much money for radios for Pachacamac, Peru, he must have something in mind. Amen. And as we started doing some work, we realized that many of the pastors in surrounding areas could use a number of those radios. Also, the radio station was really happy to get some of those radios because then they can hand them out to people in areas like we were working in, Patrick Hammock. There is electricity in some homes, but most of the homes don't have electricity. So if they have a solar-powered, fixed-tuned radio and audio Bible, that's a huge bonus for them. So we were able to not only distribute to the pastors. This is the team. On the far right of the picture is our daughter, Laura Lee. That's another daughter. And she came. I was planning to go on this trip, but I really wasn't sure what my part was in it. I loved working with children because I've done children's ministry all my life. I've done children's ministry in Romania and in Moldova and, of course, all over Canada. But I really wasn't sure quite what my place was on this team. And then about a month before we were leaving, the lady who was supposed to do the music found out she would not be able to go. Her husband took ill, and she had to cancel out. And Ethel was on the phone to me the very same day and said, "Flory, I know that you do a lot with music. How would you like to take over the music?" And I know in most DVBS programs here, the music is just a part of maybe your opening session. But there, that's one of their whole program sessions, such as your crafts and your sports and so on. So that was 30 minutes in a round-robin session of music in Spanish that I had to quickly learn, find, learn, and then share it with my daughter who came with us. She's a professional musician. And the lady who also had to cancel out was supposed to put on a concert on the Friday night. So Laura Lee stepped into that role as well. And I mean, God just provided in some amazing ways.
Well, you know, when you get down there and you don't realize the poverty, that's some of their homes just made out of rags and sheet metal and stuff like this. There's a lady dropping off stuff or else picking up stuff out of the garbage. It's a very heartbreaking situation. But when you go in there and you see when they begin to hear about Jesus, even in that situation, there's an inner joy that comes forth when they come alive and what God can do. Because we know we got a future home in heaven, right? Are you ready for heaven? I hope so. If not, I'll talk to you after.
The area that we were working in was desert, as you can see. Almost nothing grows. Some cactuses will grow if you water them. But we were there in what's called the rainy season. The summer is winter in Peru. We were there in the rainy season, but we didn't see any rain. So it's very poor. Now, those of you who have done DVBS or DVBC, whatever you call it here, you know that you have to have areas to do all your different things in. You do your sports somewhere, you do your crafts somewhere, you do your Bible teaching somewhere. Well, we didn't have a lot of space, so we had to do music and crafts in the same room. How would you like that mixture? And here are the children facing forward to do music. At the back, you can see them doing crafts. We were planning on having, starting with about 60 children and working up to 100. We started the first day with over 130 children. We ended up, well, some of the mothers came, they'd bring
they
their
came
children.
Watching, and mothers would sit there at the back listening intently on what was going on. And I believe God was touching their hearts as well, because this was good news. We got the best news, don't we?
And the Lord sent us 196 children on the Friday. We had to move the benches out of the church building. And because we had been presenting the salvation message, we had arranged that we would put the children in circles of about 12 or 20 and have a Spanish speaker. By the way, we were doing VBS in Spanish. And that we would do all of these groups sitting on the floor with a Spanish speaker with them, just once again presenting the way of salvation. And as we English speakers were watching and observing what was going on, we could just see these children just taking in everything that was said. And they were given opportunity to pray. And some of them had tears running down their cheeks as they invited Christ into their lives. Others, I just watched one boy as the joy of the Lord just flooded his whole face as he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And I believe that over 100 of those children made a commitment to Christ on that one
Amen.
Trip. And
thank you, Lord. And then many came forward on the final night. Laura Lee gave a great concert. And one lady finally stood forward, and then the others came forward. We must have had about 40 or 50 adults come along and make decisions. We're going to meet them in heaven one day. Won't that be great? When you go forth and watch what God can do, God moved in a mighty way during that week that we were there.
And that's Pastor Javier on the far right there. And
that's Alan up in the left hand with a cap on.
And he was just so overjoyed and overwhelmed, like his church had never had more than 30, 40, maybe 50 yeah. people for a special occasion. And here this church for the concert was packed. You know, Spanish time, we were there. The concert was supposed to start at 7 o'clock, and there's hardly anyone there. My daughter was getting ready in the back. She's, are there going to be any people here? But by 7:30, they started really pouring in, and the place was packed, and God spoke to many hearts. Okay, now we're going to come back home.
Canada, there's an urgent need for Galcom partners to pray for 100 Christian radio stations to go into Quebec. We started this on January 2015. We've been through a few loops and different things, trying to get it done. We've just about a month ago put in the final application to put a mother station in Brownsburg, right near Lachute, Quebec, because they didn't like the Lachute, so we moved over to a town. And this town said, hey, you want a Baptist church? They gave us one for $1, even got a church to go with it. How do you like that? How God provides. So right now they're negotiating with that application. It's in their hands with the CRTC. Would you please, please spend time in prayer that we can get this station. What we're going to do is put a mother station in, then we're going to use the internet to put 100 repeaters in all the different towns. We said you could probably take a team up here and actually install some little stations once we get the license for that. Can God do it? There's a transmitter, there's a basic thing. I got one this way. That's all we need there. $5,000 will reach a town for Christ. Then a good investment, and it'll feed off the mother station. So we're trusting God to move in a mighty way.
And this is just a sample of what's needed for the mother station. You can see the antennas on a flagpole, and that's been approved by the CRTC. And the basic workings of the station, you can see the men there. We've got it all set up for them. And the technical part is not that complicated or expensive. We're just waiting on the licensing right now.
And you know, it says, lift up your eyes and look onto the fields, for they are what? We're in the harvest business, aren't we? That's why this church started 40 years ago, and you've been with her. You know, I was checking with my bookkeeper, and we started August the 15th, 1989, with $100 working in our dining room and basement. And on September the 1st, your support came in for us, just a few weeks after we had started. Isn't that amazing? And you've been with us all these years, and we thank you for your care and for your love. But we're not finished yet. We've still got work to do. Amen?
Right, and you had started partnering with us before that.
Yes, Recordings.
And then when we went with Galcom International, you continued that support and patiently waited for us till we got our charitable license and so on. And we are so grateful for that. We could not be doing what we're doing without people like you who support us. It's just not possible. And God is using you, not just for us, for all of, for others that you support. Don't forget that what you give is doing great things in God's kingdom.
We'll have a lunch break now and then come back after and ask questions all afternoon, okay? Woohoo! God bless. Give me a woohoo! Woo-hoo! Well, they're doing much better, Pastor, once again. Woohoo! Let's go get them, amen?
Thank you.